I want to talk to you today. Actually, anything I can say is good. I haven't had any voice, and my daughter and son-in-law both kind of down with whatever this stuff is. My wife said, "Why are you going?" I said, "That's what I do." And so then somebody asked my daughter, "Why is your dad here?" And she said, "That's what he does." So I thought that was pretty good. I want to talk to you about, what do you expect? What are you expecting? And since it's Mother's Day, I thought, well, this would be kind of cool. People who've been pregnant know this better than people who haven't. I've never been pregnant. And so I don't know anything about it other than having lived with people who were. And there's something about, once you're really pregnant and you know it, your expectancy goes way up on what's going to happen. Is it going to be boys? Is it going to be a girl? What are we going to name the child? All that kind of stuff. And I think the Lord loves an expectant heart. So I want to look at what the Bible has to say about expectancy. And there's a wonderful verse in Luke chapter 3, starting with verse 15 here, this couple of verses. While the people were in a state of expectation. You don't find that very often in the scriptures, but the people gathered around were in a state of expectation, and all were wondering in their hearts about John. I've had that same experience. And as to whether he was the Christ, that wasn't the question on my part. But John answered to them and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, people were excited about John the Baptist because they've been waiting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for the Messiah to come, and here comes the forerunner, the voice crying in the wilderness. Strange-looking guy, eating locusts and honey and all that kind of stuff, and he's baptizing people in a baptism of repentance, and he says, "Somebody's coming." So they're wanting to know, are you the one coming? Because people had been looking, had known for years there were promises of the Messiah to come. And it said they were in a state of expectation. So this just wasn't a flirting, passing fancy. It was like, oh my gosh, something's up. The Lord's doing something. What's happening? How can we be part of it? The New English Bible said that they were on the tiptoe of expectation. You ever tried to look in a window or door when you knew you weren't supposed to, but there was something going on in there, and you kind of, like, that's going to do it? Their hearts were on the tiptoe of expectation. That doesn't just happen because you're curious. Something's up, and you want to know what's going on. And then the New Testament Transline version says they were waiting in expectation. That's one of the most difficult combinations that you can have, waiting and expectation. Because when you really have expectation, waiting vexes your righteous soul. And even if you don't have a righteous soul, it vexes you. There's a push, there's a pull that, how can I wait and be expectant at the same time? Because my expectancy wants something to happen. Now, I probably shouldn't do this because I'm about as sharp as a ball bearing this morning. So I'll say it better next time. But I was thinking about this and just kind of going through, how can I explain what I want to see happen? And so I went into a brief thesaurus thought, like expectation, anticipation. These are similar words. And every kid somewhere in his life had a birthday or Christmas that he was looking for something special and thought he was going to get it, and anticipating, taking a Crayola and marking that day off of the calendar to see that you're one day closer because you thought you were going to get whatever it was that you thought you were going to get. And I looked up in this little book that I bought about 15 years ago. Is there anybody like me who bought a book 15 years ago and never read it? That takes a load off me. But I bought this book because I had read that it was a good book for writers. And I pretend to be a writer now and then, so I bought it. And then I put it on a shelf, and I never looked at it. For some reason, last week, I looked at it. And it's an interesting little book. It's not a dictionary. It's a book called a descriptionary. And if you know what something is, but you don't know what to call it, you can kind of look it up in there and maybe help you find it. Well, I happened to look up anticipation. And boing, something hit me. Because I didn't know this. Because I'm a music nut, but I am not, I don't know anything about music. I was a singer, kind of. And, you know you're not a musician when they hand you the tambourine. So I have maracas and claves and all that kind of stuff. Cowbell. You can really hurt yourself. Man, did that once. Lost a thumb very nearly. But I looked this up, and anticipation is a music theory definition. This is like really good, and it'd be really good if I was sharp enough to explain it to you, but I'm attempting. Anticipation is a tone that comes before the chord that's coming. And it gets swallowed up by the chord because that tone is part of the chord. But it's a precursor to the coming of the full chord. And I read that and I said, oh my God, that's hope. That's what hope does. Hope stirs you in here to say, what he said and what I ask for is coming. Yes. And this is just a tone, just a doot, to say, and it's about to be here. It's not the thing yet, right, but the thing's coming. Right. A little bit like John the Baptist. Right. He wasn't the guy, but the guy couldn't come until he did. And he wasn't the fullness of it. He said, I just baptized with water. He baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what the fullness is. And I want to tell you, prayer's this way. You get praying about stuff and reading the Bible and pursuing things, and the Lord will send you a dum, da-dum, the duh before the da-dum. And sometimes you just feel the duh. But when it's the da-dum, then the fullness of the crescendo has come. The fullness is there, and you got everything you were supposed to get. Don't ever let the anticipation tone keep you from hanging around long enough to get the fullness of the whole song. Isn't that cool? And now I've exposed myself as not knowing anything about music theory, but then I thought of a Carly Simon song called Anticipation, and it's in there. And I thought, okay, anticipation is a thing trying to encourage you for you to maintain connectedness with the Lord so you don't miss the fullness of that which you've been pursuing. Isn't that cool? That's expectation. Well, wait a minute. What if it's a long ways off? Then you'll need more than one of these anticipatory tones, probably to keep you going. But he's the God of hope. So he's good at distributing the hope that causes you to stay connected until the fullness comes. I love that. Now, I wish I could tell you a whole lot more about it. I can't. But I feel like I was supposed to get you on this because I've been looking at that book for 15 years and never used it. And I may never use it again. I don't know. But it was rich with something. And so I think this expectation issue, anticipation issue, is something that we need to live with and maybe even at sometimes live by. Because, if it's coming because of the assuredness and the truthfulness of God, then you can afford to hold on when you don't see that help is on the way. You can say, well, circumstances don't prove to me anything that I'm praying. Have you ever been in that situation? Everything you're praying is like about this and this and this, and all your experiences are kind of going like in a 180 from fullness. That is a deception. If you have a promise from God, especially if that promise is from the book, it's from the Word of God, then you know what? That's the realness. And that's if that's what's coming. Some, we just heard something about He's the same God. He did all that stuff then. He's going to do all the stuff in the now and in the next as well. But He does little things like maybe today is to give you a tone that you know fits in the full chord, even though it's not the full story. So I think expectation is a significant issue. Anticipation, where we're believing, so we're pursuing. I think I mentioned that I'd never been pregnant. But people who have, maybe you can't even see yet. Maybe you can't. They can. And they're seeing, you know, blue eyes and blonde hair and curly, you know, I mean, their anticipation. And I want you to know, in situations like this, it seems that the anticipation is always outdone by the fulfillment. That's really an interesting providential type of thing. Acts chapter 3, verse 2, a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. So she was pregnant, this lady, but she didn't know she was pregnant with a crippled child. A man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John go about into the temple, he began to receive alms. Peter was along with John, and they fixed their gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I don't possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." Seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple and to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. He had expectancy in his heart, thinking maybe he was going to get a quarter or a dime, but it was based on a need. His expectation was based on his own personal need, and the Lord answered and exceeded his expectations. So sometimes our expectations, our desire, is because we just don't have what we need. Whether that's internal, external, it doesn't matter. But need can be a cause to be expectant. Well, does the Lord give you need so you become expectant? No. He just hopes that when you face need, you'll have expectancy that that's where you go. And that's what you do. And so need isn't bad. Sometimes maybe the Lord will allow you to get a need so that you and He can have an updated connection. Yeah. Happens that way sometimes. Acts chapter 10, story of Peter. On the next day, as they were on their way approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down lower by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Peter, kill and eat." And there weren't anybody around from any of the, anyway. So he didn't have to have the license, you know what I'm saying? But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, I've never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And again a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times. God knows us like really well. And he knew people were coming to see Peter, but he also knew Peter, so he told him three times. Excuse me. You ever been that three-time guy? Don't nod your head, just look holy. This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. And while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what this vision which he had seen might be, excuse me, behold, the man who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for his house, appeared at the gate, calling out. They were asking, saying, "Hey, are Simon Peter here?" And they said, "We got to see him. Come downstairs. Get with these guys." So Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I'm the one you're looking for. What's the reason for which you've come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of, excuse me, by the entire nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house to hear a message from you." No pressure. Can you imagine that? Guy comes, he comes out of a trance, and then somebody else has had a dream and he's in it. So Peter goes, "Guess I'll go." Here's the thing, sometimes the anticipation, the expectation comes from a prophetic encounter. Peter had a prophetic encounter, essentially telling him, "You don't have to do that way anymore." Cornelius has an encounter saying, "You don't have to worship that way anymore. Something's going to happen." And so this wasn't a need on Peter's part or a physical need on Cornelius's part. This is prompted by a divine encounter. And that should make you hungry. That should cause expectation to mount. So Cornelius, excuse me. Peter comes. Cornelius said, "I had this dream and you were in it. And you're supposed to, you're going to tell us what God says." Peter's going, "What was that that I did on the day of Pentecost? That worked good. Maybe I'll say that." Because he wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready. But when he hears what's going on, boom. He said, "Okay then." Now you have to understand, these guys are Gentiles. And so they weren't supposed to be able to receive anything. They were dogs. Right? Not God's chosen people. Peter gets it and says, "Oh, I get it now. Oh, I get it now." Now, he's filled with expectation, too, because his number of potential customers for the gospel just went up exponentially. So opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what's right is welcome to him." Amen. Wow. 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 So, this divine prophetic encounter he had, coupled with the one that Cornelius had, allows and empowers now all of us who are not Jewish to be able to be children of God. Tell me that we don't need encounters to quicken our expectancy. Was something good going on? My heavens. I mean, this changes everything. I mean, everything. I'm going to peel on over here just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, you can read it. But the idea is we all are to be quickened with expectation by gaining an eternal perspective on life. We look at the cross, and that's history to us. But the coming of Jesus to his church in purity and power, something that we looked at on last Wednesday night, is our present-day expectation. We're looking for the Lord to meet us in the now, and we're also looking for the Lord to meet us on a day called the Day of the Lord. So we need him in the now, and we're looking at him for the future. There should be expectations for both. You can't just have expectations for him coming in the now, because he has a Bible full of promises about him coming in the future as well. But if you only have expectation about him coming in the future, you're going to miss a whole big bunch of stuff happening in the now. I wasn't going to interrupt Kiki, because she sings better than I talk. But we were singing the song, make me a blessing, make me an offering, new wine. You know what? You don't get any new wine if you don't have fruitfulness. The emphasis needs to be on living with him every day, so abiding happens, where we get fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that abides. Consequently, we become ripe for new wine. I'll have to go back and preach that someday, but there's reality in that. We need the encounters daily with him, frequently with him, consistently with him, and we also, get this now, we need to be able to keep the divine appointments that the Lord is making with people that he's having, encounters with, so it helps ours and ours helps theirs. That's exactly what happened with Peter and Cornelius. So he wasn't just helping one, he's helping them both. Someone said to me, how are you going to do this today? And I said, I'm going to tell people every time I cough, you're supposed to applaud. See, then that will be good for me and it'll be good for you. That's terrible, isn't it? Sometimes it's just a need. Sometimes it's a promise from God. Sometimes it's an encounter with God that strikes up expectancy, that stirs something to say, what? There's more. What am I looking for? For some people, it's what am I living for? But expectancy is really, really a significant thing. I had someone ask me, pastor asked me, well, what do you do about that if what you're expecting doesn't come? Then you have caused people to be dispirited and discouraged. And I said, no, it's like, welcome to the real world. Fighting through things, pressing through things, happens. In this world you will have this world. That's not biblical, but it's true. And fighting through those things, knowing the one who holds the whole world together by his word of power is the one I'm after, changes things. I don't know which one of us is going to quit first. I want to talk to you about Simeon and Anna. You probably know the story. If you don't, Joseph and Mary are bringing the baby Jesus to the temple to be blessed. And Simeon, righteous old guy, even older than me, probably more righteous than me, but had a promise from God that you're not going to die till you see Jesus, to the Messiah. When he recognizes him, since they bring him in, and he has a promise from the Lord. Sings a wonderful song, and and now that I've held him in my arms, song by Michael Card, and calls Jesus the glory of Israel, but also the blessing of the Gentiles. And Mary and Joseph are going, what is he talking about? He says, now I can die in peace because I've seen the Messiah. Wow. And then Anna, who is an older lady, widow lady, been there quite a while, was married for several years and then died. And then she stayed every day in the temple waiting for the coming of the Messiah. So you tell me that she didn't have expectancy every day? What kept her coming back all those years? Promise from the Lord. And then when it happens and she sees Simeon dancing with Jesus, it's like, voila, fulfillment of the expectation. They got what they were looking for and more. I don't know if they totally understood that. It seemed like Simeon did, but, excuse me. Israel, Israel was waiting for their Messiah. They were not waiting for the Savior of the Gentiles. Right? They got more than they were waiting for. I don't know that the Gentiles were waiting for the Messiah. But when he came, they got the one who was going to deliver them. Isn't that wonderful? Having expectation means I've chosen to believe, and I've chosen to receive, and I've chosen to let him set the date. So what do you have expectancy for? What anticipations do you have? Now listen to me for just a second. I'm going to quit pretty quick here. I think I've already crossed over my limit. But some of us are people, listen to me now, that have had legitimate expectation, but we've let it slip a little bit. Yeah. I forget what the length is, but sometimes I think people become elephants because elephants' gestation period is almost 2 years. So if you're an elephant papa, you're waiting a long time for mother for that kid to come. Even though you can have proof of being pregnant, we still don't have result. Do you have promise? Yes. See, there's a difference when we wait on the Lord. I mentioned about waiting expectantly. When you're waiting on the Lord for promise, you're just, When you're waiting on the Lord with promise, totally different thing. And if it happens to have a gestation period longer than you signed up for, welcome to my world. Because it's not about the, listen to me, it's much more about the promiser than it is about the promise. Your sellout needs to be to the one who promises. Not necessarily just to the promise. Now, he speaks promises to us, so we got reason to connect with him. But when he comes through, you'll understand all about it. Not necessarily before then. So some of us have had expectations, but the gestation period has caused it to slip a little bit in us. I got saved a long time ago. I always say when Lincoln was president, but he had been president. But and when just like from the day I got saved, this concept of a worldwide move of God hit me. And I came up, you know, with the concept, this phrase that the Lord gave me that just, you know, gripped my heart, and the confluential flow of the evidential presence of God. And that told me confluential, meaning all of the moves of God, all of the visitations, all of the revivals have a certain specificity to them, a certain uniqueness. And but there was one common that was going to have all of those in it. Amen. That's confluence. And then evidential presence, mean it just didn't, boy, that felt good. No, you could see people who'd been in wheelchairs and blind eyes open and deaf ears open and cancers healed and relationships taken care of. I've been waiting for a while. We've seen some pieces, haven't seen the whole thing. Man, I'm thinking buy into that. That just turns me on. I don't know how else to say. It gets me up in the morning, not as well on some days as others, but and say that's worth for. You need to have things, expectant things, that are worth getting up for. sometimes in the middle of that, there comes one of those anticipations where tone comes and you know it's like right here. It's just, you know, it's like Field of Dreams, you know, where he sticks his hand into the cornfield. He says, I can feel it, but I can't touch it. That's an anticipation. That's an encouragement saying, but it's coming. But it's coming. We need to have things that like that in that big broad scale, you know, that I just talked about. And we need to have things in our own little cultures that we live in, where that we can help or be helped in ways that deeply satisfy us because something, he's doing something. He's doing something. So it needs to be in the now, and it needs to be also in the coming day. And I think expectation pleases him because it makes him think that we think nothing's impossible. And nothing is impossible. Now, things, you know, the hard thing about believing for the impossible to get taken care of? The impossible has to exist in your life in order for that to be real. Right? Because if there ain't nothing impossible, then he doesn't need to attain to it. So I look at that and think, okay, why are there things out there that we don't ever see change? Well, part of that is because we don't see the whole picture. And part of that is the only one who can do it is the one who sees the whole picture. And so when we were having our first child, we went to the hospital and sat there like 20 hours. That was a long 20 hours. And that was the deal where, you know, you didn't get to go in and see your baby born because they didn't do that things yet. So I wasn't saved yet. So I was in there smoking about a carton of Camel filters, waiting for this to happen. And they finally came in and said, we're going to send you home. That's what I said. And we did. We were home another 7 or 8 hours, came back. Got a baby. But we responded not knowing what we were doing. We came a little too early. Never done that before. Sometimes when you get a promise, you make a jump on the promise like you already had the answer, which is kind of like answering your own prayers. And that's less fulfilling. And the Lord wasn't mad or anything, you know. Kathy was worn out, I'll tell you that. But sometimes we're responding to the encouragement that it's coming like it's here. And we were off by 23 hours, which made long days, but got everything we wanted, you know. And except for the doctor came in and said, I'm so sorry, Mr. Brown. And I said, sorry about what? Because he had told me all along it was going to be a boy. And now he's telling me, I'm sorry. You don't say that. And I'm going, then he goes, oh, everything's fine. But he's a girl. I said, I don't care. I thought, do you have a cardiac unit? And the Lord loved the child too much, because I was going to name the boy John Sebastian. For those of you who don't know, John Sebastian was a lead singer of Lovin' Spoonful and wrote a lot of songs. And was at Woodstock and sang the song to Welcome Back Cotter TV show. So. And so I think Kathy prayed that right out. Because she said, well, what if it's a girl? And I said, the dude says it's going to be a boy. She says, how about Rachel? I said, good name. It worked. When you can't make up the answer is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And you can't let yourself judge the response from God by the way you had it figured out. Because if you do, you're entering into a real impossible situation where now you think the Lord tricked you or did something wrong to you. He doesn't do that. He can't do that. Now, I think what I'm going to do, excuse me, I think next week we're going to come back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and tie expectancy and that together. And so if you're really smart, you don't want me to lay hands on you today. And I'm going to be really smart and get the heck out of here and not do it. But I want you to be, it's great to be pregnant with something. To feel like the Lord has released something living to you. Because all of his promises are living promises, aren't they? Especially if those things that come off the word of the page of the book and bang, and you got something. Man, there's something, there's life in there. And to carry that. I know there's, Gloria had come up and said something about turning, and I told Josh when he whispered it to me, I said, oh, I've been carrying the thing, pivot point. There's a pivot point where the reality, the actuality of the promise comes into being, but you can't turn it yourself. It's got to be that thing where it's coming from the Lord, and it's not what you wanted to come, it's what he wanted to come. And I've been doing this a long time. Every time he comes with an answer, it's like 4,200 times better than the one I would have come up with. Although sometimes I'm stunned, saying, well, why didn't you just tell me that? He owes me no explanation. To recognize the fact that we need to have expectancy. The number one thing, when you're expecting something, the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil will cover your landscape with things that say, ain't going to happen, ain't going to happen, ain't going to happen. He doesn't have good English, does he? Should say, but that's what will happen. Do everything you can in the natural realm to discourage you from seeing it, saying it, praying it, believing it, and hanging on to it. Count that as normal, because that's what happens. When we get life in us about an issue or about a thing, then we're carriers. And so what are we going to do? I know when my wife was pregnant, you know, she always drank milk, which I never understood. But she would drink more milk, she would drink more water, she would eat these things, you know, all the stuff for the health of the baby and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes there may be adjustments in the way that we think and the way that we speak that have something to do with the fact that this is a reality. There's something coming. So I don't want to do anything to keep that from happening. I don't think you can make anything happen that God gave as a promise. But I think you can mess stuff up to keep it from happening. So the thing to do is, okay, because I believe he said this, I'm going to hold back on saying that. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying sometimes you got to rely on that. How many have gotten a promise from God and you ran and told somebody and they looked at you like you were a freak? Yeah, me too. So David has a dream about a coat, and he tells his brothers, and he ends up, his brothers become ditch diggers, and he's in the ditch. That wasn't the smartest thing for him to do. Mary got promises and pondered them in her heart. That was probably a little better idea. We want to have an expectancy because it allows us to become encouraged on the way. If we just say, well, it's just fate, and either God does it or he doesn't do it. You don't have those little victories on the way to the real big one. You don't have those opportunities to say, oh, yeah, Lord, that's really good. That's really good. He wants us to have that connection. So whether it's by a need, whether it's by a promise, whether it's by a prophetic encounter, the Lord will strike life in us, quicken us in a way, And if you everything I put in the notes, you can look at every one of those things that you can find in the scriptures are a reason to receive and a way to receive an expectancy. And I would tell you, maybe the smartest thing to do isn't to cross every day off on a calendar. But when you get one of those tones, that's part of the chord, and it catches your expectation up a little, then you can say, yes, Lord, I'm with you. I believe it. It's true. Just because you can't produce the final outcome doesn't mean that the income, the promise that's entered you, is not real. If this is real, it'll have a reality on this end. I think we live in crazy times, if you hadn't figured that out. Maybe as crazy as any I've ever seen. And so it's harder to embrace the reality God wants us to live in. And that's the ticket, is to embrace that. There's another king. There's another kingdom. And we're citizens of that one and citizens of this one. So we have to carry the promises that pertain to this one as we live in this one. Without going off half-cocked and without letting go of the reality of the statements that the Lord's made to us. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for that little concept of music where you send a precursor, you release hope. So if hope can look back at faith and say, don't quit, man, it's coming. We receive that as a prodding to continue to believe and receive. And Lord, we are longing to be with those who have that. So like Peter, when he hooked up with Cornelius, they were both stunned at what they'd been told by God, and the two messages brought out something that was way more than either one of them would have been able to come up with themselves. We want to be people like that. We want to be in an environment that cooperates with you to see that happen. So, Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. And I pray today you'd put new frosting on the cake for people, that it would be as fresh as it was the first day they heard that promise. And we would walk with you into the fullness of all that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's going to do it for today. I hope that you will we will do this again next week, and hopefully I'll be in a little better shape.